You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help me.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nuke's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's hair. We need a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. The Fan text line is 503-864-6326. A lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
Well, before you do, as I was putting the magic hat
back on to make it a normal hat, right?
There was one little piece of magic that
it
was still in
the
there.
Hat?
It fell
out.
You don't
want
right
to get
there.
To the big breaking news first? We got big breaking news.
Wait, do we really?
I mean, not really, but kind of.
Oh. Wait, I'm so confused now.
ESPN has announced that week one of next college football season will be the final Lee Corso college game day. They're finally putting him out to pasture. He's finally done.
So he's just doing one game next week?
They want a final send-off for him, a proper send-off, so he will, wherever their week one location is. I don't know where it's going
to
be.
That will be it for Lee Corso. Let's see if we get to.
I mean, I'm sure there's probably an obvious game. I think week one slate next year isn't bad. But that's it. Lee Corso's hanging him up. Hanging up the headset and the headgear.
What animal mascot does he want to go out as?
That has to be your first question.
I think the duck is in question.
I don't think they're going to go to the Montana State game.
No,
I don't
quite
think that will reach to that level.
You've got Alabama at Florida State.
I mean, that's
fine. I don't
think
he wants to be the white guy.
LSU at Clemson.
LSU-Clemson could probably be it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Texas-Ohio State. That's where he's going to be.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
that's not to that
the
Buckeye. There we
I
go.
Forgot that when they played in the semifinals. Like, hey, the next game is against, you know, whoever loses. Their next game is week one. Texas is on the road at Ohio State.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in Columbus and either putting on the Bebo mascot head or the old buck nut.
This is not good radio, but South Park announced they're coming back for a new season. They had a trailer for it, and I just had the most South Park idea of how that could go. With him picking Texas as the winner.
Yeah, riding off on a bowl.
Boy, big breaking news there.
Big breaking news. I mean, we can't miss that. We can't miss that level of breaking news.
Should have had a goodbye tour 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah, maybe 7 or 8.
Well, we could have literally celebrated it every week. It's the end of Corso.
Yes. Every college town gets to send him off in their own unique way.
Thank you, Lee Corso.
Instead, we drug it out too
long.
And now we got to give him one final show.
Got to have the one game, though. That's, you know.
One more game. So there you go.
What fell out of the hat?
It said, will a pirate bring it back?
Ooh.
This could mean several things. I don't know. Has there been a seance for the pirate?
Well, is Mike Leach coming back?
Is Mike Leach?
Was he on the phone yesterday? Was he talking to us during that interview? Was he the ghost on the show?
I had three people go, you guys faked that, right?
No.
No.
And I go, no, hand to God, that just happened that way. And it wasn't Pfeiffer. I asked Pfeiffer real quick before you play it. I asked Pfeiffer. I said, yo, did you just end that call with a take care, or did you say, like, thanks a lot, bye, take care? And he's like, I don't 100% remember. I'm pretty sure I just said take care.
Yeah.
So,
let's
do
this again soon.
Take care.
That's somebody saying goodbye, guys. Is it not? At the very end?
Sounds like I feel like I hear I'm always there for you guys.
Okay.
I feel like that's what I hear.
Let's do this again soon.
Take care.
I feel like that's what I'm hearing.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
Could be Mike Leach. I don't know.
The streams have crossed, right?
This week.
No, it's not the pirate.
R.I.P.
Not the pirate.
R.I.P. the pirate.
R.I.P. Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, the stipulations for why he's not in the Hall of Fame is the dumbest thing ever.
Half of a percentage point or whatever below the winning threshold, it's ridiculous.
It should be the NBA Hall of Fame where everybody gets it because they existed.
I tend to agree with you.
I'll play along with this. This was interesting. Jeff Passan wrote a huge piece on Paul Skeens. And I don't watch Pirates games, but but if you give me Skeens on TV, I will watch it.
It's must. He himself is must-watch TV.
And so basically, the piece, it's really, really well-written. I mean, Passan wrote it, so that's all you need to know. It's at ESPN.com. It basically talks about how Paul Skeens is handling being Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
superstardom, super popular, famous girlfriend, being kind of thrust into the forefront of pitching in Major League Baseball, starting an All-Star game as a rookie.
After like 10 starts.
And I want to read a quote and then give you a stat. It's in this story. Again, it's really well written. If I'm a Pirate fan, I am just begging my team to give him the bag. Just give, what, $300 million? Here you go. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Okay? So he's a very unique dude. He's not on social media. And if he has an account, he doesn't run it because he basically says, I don't like to do the media stuff. He's a big meditation, deep thinking type of a human being, okay? His parents are teachers. The fact that he's even a pitcher in this size doesn't make any sense, according to him. His dad was at best a JV baseball player who wasn't very good, and his mom didn't really play sports. So the fact that he's 6'6", 240, 260.
Giving me some hope for Teddy Ballgame. You're telling me there's a chance here.
I mean, you know what?
You never know.
Teddy Ballgame towering over old dad.
That's right.
All right?
Imagine if he's 6'6", that'd be wild.
So this is a quote. This is a real quote from Paul Skeens. Quote, the times that I'll figure stuff out is when I'm sitting and not doing anything. I'll figure some stuff out on the mound or talking to people, but there'll be times where I'm just sitting or lying in bed or something like that. Silence. And there's nothing else to do but think. I wonder, and I'm not comparing myself to him by any stretch, but Newton discovered gravity because he was sitting under a tree and an apple fell. You figure stuff out because you're sitting in silence, compartmentalizing stuff, thinking about the game, doing a debrief of myself. That's how I'll get pitch grips. Just sitting around and imagining the feel of a baseball and like, oh, I'm going to try that. It works or it doesn't work. If you do that enough, you're going to figure stuff out. End quote.
It's an interesting cat, man.
He's Newton.
He is an interesting cat.
And pitching is his gravity.
It's I read the passing piece. He did a couple of interviews on it as well. I saw one with Chris Rose. It just, there is an epidemic in Major League Baseball. And he is at the center of it. And other stars have been at the center of it as well. Otani was this with the Angels, right? I mean, when you have these generational talents and they play for organizations that just simply don't care, it kills you as a sport. Paul Skeens is can't miss television. He might be the best pitcher in baseball. He's 22 years old. I believe he started a total of 27 games in his career. For if you're in the big leagues for an entire season, you stay healthy as a starting pitcher, you usually start somewhere in the 32, 33 range. So when you just look at the overall sample size, he hasn't even started a full year yet of Major League Baseball games. He might already be the best pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. His K-to-walk ratio is insane. He's 26-3, 24 innings into the season. His ERA is near the top of the big leagues again. It was below a 2 last year. Yet he plays for an organization that's horrible, that doesn't care, that doesn't spend money.
I was reminded of their owner's name in this piece, too.
It's just, like, it's laughably bad. There was a video that went viral the other night at one of their games in which they're... Dude, there's more people at Winterhawk games than there are Pittsburgh Pirates games. And they might have...
Bob Nutting.
I don't know what the long-term, if he's going to stay healthy, but he is on the trajectory of one of the greatest pitchers of all time, and he is on the trajectory of a first ballot, no doubt, lock Hall of Fame career.
He also, I can't remember how it was phrased on the old Magic Hat there, will a Pirate save us? I have said this before about him.
Yeah, will a Pirate bring it back?
Thank you. A Pirate bring it back. I said this about him last year, and I'm going to say it again after reading this piece. There are things in sports that, no matter our ages, all of us have a connection to something in specific sports. Hockey, basketball, football, baseball. One for me, and I think one for a lot of people older and even a little younger, is dominant starting pitching. And I understand that sports evolve. I am not going to be a hypocrite and say, well, modern day NBA is more efficient, better, get over the shooting threes thing, wah, 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 and then turn around. But I will say, in baseball, for me as a sports fan, I grew up with dominant pitchers. Pitchers that went the full distance. Pitchers that went deep into the eighth. Maybe got pulled with one out in the ninth. Get this stat. This is from Jeff Passan's Skeen piece. Okay? Over the past 25 years, the number of 100-plus pitch games in Major League Baseball has dipped from 2,391 to 635 last season.
It's a massive drop.
There were 1,297 starts of 110 or more pitches in 2000 and 33 last year.
Yeah.
1,297 starts of 110 or more pitches in the year 2000, and last year there were 33. Skeens is basically going to Randy Johnson and picking his brain. He met him at an event of some sort. I forget where it was, but he met him and they talked and basically said, I want to have a great career. I don't even care about rookie of the year and Cy Young. That means you had a good season.
He cares about longevity.
Legendary. Yeah. Like, we can laugh at the Sir Isaac Newton quote all we want, but this dude wants to be remembered for being great at what he does, and that sport is largely not allowing players at his position to be great the way we once thought they were great.
The game has completely changed, and as a fan of baseball, it has slowly turned me off, and to see some teams flowing back in the other direction has been a welcome sight.
Can you give me the teams? Because I don't watch a lot of other
My team has done this.
Game.
My team had an analytical nerd calling the shots the last 3 or 4 years in which it was all rotational players. You're only lefties, righties. You're only starting against the opposite arm. You were using openers half the time every week. And it just, I hated watching my team play.
Yeah.
Not only were they not very good, but on top of that, it's like, I don't want a different pitcher every inning. This is stupid. I want to watch baseball. They let Verlander the other day go for over 100 pitches. They lost the game. He kind of unraveled a little bit in the sixth inning. He's like 42 years old. He's like, yeah, stretch it out, big man. Let's go. There's not rotational guys in the starting lineup anymore. They have not used a single opener, I believe, to my knowledge, at this point in the season. Like, if you're hot, we're going to let you ride it out. Like, to me, there's a balance here where you don't want to burn guys' arms out by the time they're 26 years old, but we also don't have to have this fear-mongering where he's at 83 pitches. We got to get him out of there. His arm's going to fall off.
Right.
The other guy that if I were him, I'd go talk to, who I think in the modern game exemplifies what he wants to accomplish, one of the few rare guys who has done it, is Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw is one of the few guys who, when you look up at his career, especially in this era of baseball, it's rare to go 200 innings, 200 year after year after year after year. And I know he's gotten a little bit hurt here the last couple of seasons, but that's going to happen to any pitcher, eventually. He's another guy that if I were him, I'd be calling constantly and saying, what were you doing? How'd you keep your arm strong? How'd you avoid this? What was it that gave you the ability to do that? Like, Paul Skeens is special, man. He's got the opportunity to be one of the all-time greats. It just genuinely sucks for a sport that I love. This isn't a small market, big market thing. This is a care or don't care thing.
Yeah, they don't care.
He plays for a team that does not care about winning. They don't sign contracts. They don't spend money. It is a money-grubbing owner who is bilking the millions of dollars off of the rich organizations that are making actual money and trying to win and just laughing all the way to the bank. And it sucks because, unfortunately, he's likely going to pitch in an irrelevant market for the next 4 years. They're already in last place this year. This guy needs to be at the forefront of the sport, and he will never be that in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I just thought that was a really good piece. You got a lot of conversation last year with how he burst onto the scene. He's a very unique, different dude. He's a very young individual, and he has such an old kind of nature to him.
He's an old soul.
And reading some of the alarming stats of starting pitching in baseball now, like, I know we know that, but like, seeing those numbers is just, yeah, I'm kind of the same. Like, the Braves, Strider came back, pitched 5 innings, fine, whatever.
I mean, you're coming off an injury, that's one thing.
But it's like
it.
Fourth inning bullpen. I'm like, oh,
all right, here we go. All
and
right.
Guess who blows it? Especially this year. Every game.
Every time.
Damn Braves bullpen.
Not trustworthy,
time.
Man.
All right, we got a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on the Fan. All right, I want to ask a question. Also, let me just say this. I got a lot in my head right now. Brandon Huffman's going to join us at 8.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a Thursday.
It is.
The NFL draft's a week from today.
Week from today. Oh. Lambeau Field.
Over 2.5 quarterbacks first round.
Games. Frozen tundra. I don't think my long shot on Abdul Carter, number one overall, is going to hit.
I think it's burnt.
The money's getting flushed down the toilet.
Hey, Joey's back. How about that?
Hey, Joey!
Went on vacation and came back. Didn't think he'd ever return, to be honest with you.
Good morning.
He's gone. I'm not
hey, my computer. My computer still doesn't work, by the way. Yeah. Can you come fix that when you get a chance?
I love you. So a couple things here. One question, just open-ended question that we may or may not get to today for the audience, and I'm just going to simply ask from my brain and a video Dirt just watched during the break. Smart or stupid to get ahead of our garbage problem on this planet and say, shoot the garbage into the sun.
Shoot it into the sun.
Smart or dumb? Does that sound like a smart thing or a dumb thing? You can let us know at the fan text line 503-864-6326.
I'm going to lean on Papa. We need it. Papa Swag needs a text on this one. Okay. What are the ramifications? Will it burn? Is this going to come back to bite us? What's going to happen here?
I had no more depressing educational experience at Oregon State than the extra credit class I needed to take where it was about water preservation. And two things stuck out in that and stuck with me still to this day, and I'm 38. One, don't flush your toilet every time and turn your running water off. We're not going to have drinking water in X amount of years. And I went, well, that's awesome. Had no idea.
If it's yellow, let it mellow, man. Let it sit. Don't waste that water.
And the other one was, people don't talk about this, but our garbage areas are just massively piling up, yeah. And it's a problem.
It
and
just I went, keeps cool. getting bigger. There's a lot of us here, man.
It's been great growing up as an adult and finding out that we're screwed.
I have enjoyed watching the reaction from those gals who went to space, and now they're very offended that people are making fun of their trip. Katy Perry kissed the ground when she came down. She tried singing a song, I guess, on the live cam. Is there anything more insufferable than these self-indulgent rich people?
Katy Perry has a real, like, no one cares vibe.
But, does anybody care anymore?
Is that really space?
The left shark is gone a long time ago, and no, it's not really space.
The other one was, I don't know if we get back into it. Did we kind of disrespect Lee Corso? Should that have been a bigger story to talk about? I don't know. I don't have a good read on it. I haven't
felt
comfortable.
People are kind of paying their homages to him on social media right now. Yeah. Favorite moments, him holding,
It's not felt great for me as a sports fan for at least three seasons. I have just uncomfortably had that on from time to time and thought.
It's not good.
So I don't know if we did that right or not. Maybe we'll get back into
it. That's the one where it's like, I want to say goodbye to the Jerry Rice of the 49ers, not the Jerry Rice of the Seahawks. Like, Lee Corso in his prime.
That is kind of your goal. That's your go-to.
That's my go-to. He wore a Seahawks jersey.
I mean, I think it was training camp's preseason.
He played an entire year in Seattle. I'm fairly confident he played an entire year in Seattle. Let me pull up his stats. He was right on this one.
Never happened.
I mean, it shouldn't have happened. Let's just pretend that it didn't happen. That's my whole point on Lee Corso.
He also donned a Bronco helmet.
He played the 2000, he played 11 games in Seattle in 2004.
We don't need to talk.
I think the Bronco one was the one where it was training camp and he didn't make it. That was maybe 2005.
He was good with the Raiders.
They're like, dude, get the hell out of here.
He was the only good player in that Super Bowl.
He was the only good player in that Super Bowl. He had a 1,200-yard season, I think his back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons his first 2 years in Oakland. I want to remember the prime Lee Corso. Prime Lee Corso putting on the mascot head. Him doing that at your school.
That's a big deal.
Was such a big deal.
Never did it. Never put the beaver hat on.
He was only there once. Then we burned your field.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like,
that was really? That was kind of rude.
Trash.
That was a little too far.
California Oregon fan.
I know. The Californication of my university is unacceptable.
Well, it's really taken a stranglehold. I wanted to ask you guys this, and I just did a terrible job in this segment, so of course, look at me being an idiot. NFL draft is a week away.
1 week from today.
It's funny listening to our buddy Ken Carmen in Cleveland, because they're asking, like, hey, would we be outraged if they took Ashton Janty too?
Okay.
They had a debate today. Who's better off than starting as the Browns quarterback? Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco?
It's such a sad existence,
they
man.
Basically said this is the worst
this
debate.
This is horrible.
Being embraced in
there
sports
is no debate.
Today.
There's everybody loses.
Is there no debate?
Everybody loses.
But who would you start?
I wouldn't start either. I would fold up shop. Just call me next year. Like, no, I'm not even talking about the Browns this year.
It's kind of a fun debate when you think about it.
Who gives us a chance to win four instead of three?
But Myles Garrett got his money.
He got paid $40 million a year, man.
You know, once upon a time, there's lots of evidence on this program. You can go find the tape of this show. I will only speak for me here because I don't remember what Dirt said. But when there was a Japanese international superstar prospect coming to Major League Baseball, I remember being on air openly laughing at the idea that dude was going to be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball and maybe the best hitter. I remember openly laughing at the idea. No way. Choose a path. What a stupid topic.
I think my take was, let's be Madison Bumgarner first and then we'll talk. Guy's hitting tank jobs and he's winning World Series.
Cy Young level arm and a 50-50 bat. I mean,
well,
I was wrong.
He hasn't pitched in a year and a half. It's good. Come on, let's be fair here. The guy's a bomb. Yeah.
Okay.
And he's stealing money.
Am I wrong on Travis Hunter? Because there's a lot of Hunter noise right now.
I wouldn't want to touch him with a top three pick. Okay, I would not want to touch him.
It's not about touching him or not touching him, okay? Somebody's going to touch him.
We get touched.
He's going to get touched in the top five.
Somebody will touch him.
All right? But are we wrong, or are we just dismissing the idea that this dude legitimately could play both sides far more, whatever that is in your mind, far more than you give it credit? Because I'm poo-pooing it, and I don't know why I didn't learn from Ohtani. I don't think he's the generational athlete. But I also could be way wrong because he was amazing in college. Are we not giving that enough credence of he could actually do both at a higher rate than you think?
This goes back to the, I remember we embraced debate on this topic. What's harder to do, play corner and wide receiver or be a pitcher and a hitter in Major League Baseball?
Cornerback is the second hardest position in the sport.
It's, it's incredibly challenging. I don't know about easily the second hardest position. That's
Say easy. I said it's the second hardest in my opinion.
I wouldn't want to block Myles Garrett, but I digress.
if you're 340 pounds, you might.
It takes significantly more skill to be able to do two drastically different things in baseball. Mm-hmm. The whole question about whether it could work in the NFL and the difficulty of it is, one, the endurance level that you have to have. Now, he had it in college, and also the durability level. Like, you're taking hits on both sides of the field for 100 snaps a game.
I know.
To me, they're not a very good equivalent. That's why it's a weird debate to have in terms of what's more challenging to do. I'm not giving it a snowball's chance in hell of happening in the NFL. You tell me he's going to run a set, you know, go out there and run a go route three or four times a game. I'm not saying he's not going to play any semblance of both sides, but this idea that you could be a full-time starter on both sides of the ball in the NFL is ludicrous and ridiculous.
Maybe not full-time starter swag, but do you see it happening more than you're giving credit in your head?
Yeah, I think he'll be full-time on one side of the ball and then have a specific package on the other.
Okay, now let me ask you quickly, because I know we're against it. For both of you, what side should he be more on? Because that's the other big debate is, I got the smartest people in the world disagreeing on what side of the ball
he's better
on.
I think that depends on what team he goes to and where they need the most help.
Because he's a good corner. He's a good wide receiver. Is he worth a second overall pick at either of those positions?
I just wouldn't take a cornerback at two.
And there's not very many wide receivers I would take number two overall unless you're Jeremiah Smith level generational talent.
If Kenny Pickett's my quarterback, I'm not thinking wide receiver at two. If Drake May's my quarterback and I have an offensive line, you know, I'd kick around the idea, but I'd still probably lean edge rusher or defensive tackle.
I mean, if you're asking me to give him advice, the answer is easy. You go play wide receiver.
What do you think when you watch him?
I don't have this is why I wouldn't touch him, because I don't have I think he's fine at both.
Well, you're not going to be able to touch him. You don't have the ability to touch him.
I don't think he's the number one corner in the draft, and I don't think he's the number one wide receiver in the draft. I don't think his career is that much drastically different depending on what side of the ball he plays.
You a T-Mac guy?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
The Mizzou kid's pretty good too.
Luther Burden's a stud. If he should play wide receiver, because he can make significantly more money at wide receiver. If he has a good NFL career, he will get paid more and have a longer career.
So if you're touching him, are you putting him at receiver or cornerback?
I'm probably going to put him at corner, but if I'm advising him, I'm advising him to play wide receiver in the NFL.
Thank you. Swag, did you give me an answer quickly and then we'll go? Where are you touching him?
It depends on my team and where I need the most help.
When you watch Travis Hunter play, where would you want to touch him, on offense or defense?
That depends on my roster. Where do I need the most help? You're not going to get me to answer this question because it's a stupid hypothetical.
It's not stupid.
And that's why I hate hypotheticals.
It's what's happening in the draft.
I understand. And where do I need
the
most help?
You're the Cleveland Browns.
And you want Travis Hunter, okay? There's your team.
Where are you putting him?
There's your hypothetical. Where are you touching him?
Probably defense.
Okay. Thank you. Could have broke a minute and a half ago, but you didn't play the game.
Just wouldn't answer the question.
We just wanted to touch Travis Hunter. Somebody's going to touch him in the top five.
Somebody's touching that kid.
Well,
God, why do you do that? What's the matter with you? Shut up.
Huffman at the top of the hour. Back with more on The Fan.
All right, we'll talk to Brandon Huffman coming up top of the hour. Get his thoughts on the Nico situation. There's some fallout there that I'd still like to discuss, including comments from his family.
I want to talk to him about the parents he interacts with and how often he comes across these kinds of parents in that world.
Well, and in this current landscape, is this going to become a thing? Like, is this now every offseason some guy is going to want to renegotiate his deal or be unhappy with how much money he's making? We were talking the NFL draft in the last segment and the would you or would you not touch Travis Hunter segment. It seems like one team wants to touch Derek Harmon. So I saw this yesterday. I thought it was interesting. He's a, you know, D-line seems like a positional strength of this draft. Seems like there's a lot of good defensive linemen, some with question marks, some people are a little bit more high on.
The A&M kid, I saw the Niners were talking to him.
He's another one of those.
Like, I don't know, man.
Numbers aren't there in college, but will it translate to the... Walter Nolan is a stud. I remember talking about him in the portal last year, but he's got the question mark of, does he work hard on every play? Yeah. Does he love football? Andrew Filippone, who covers Pittsburgh for 93.7 The Fan, he's been around for a long time, Steelers insider. He had something yesterday where he said the clear-cut favorite to be the pick of the Steelers. Let me double-check what number this
is. Like in the 18?
21. 21st overall pick in the draft. The clear-cut favorite to be their 21st overall pick is Derek Harmon out of Oregon.
Is Harmon going to be there?
That I don't know, but he said the quote was, he's the total package, and Art Rooney has been very vocal about the Steelers addressing their defensive line, something that did not happen in free agency. So if he makes it to 21, clear-cut favorite, according to Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh.
I think that's a great fit. Pittsburgh, defense, steel curtain.
Seems like he'd fit. Like, that's just
right.
That's Derek Harmon. Aaron Rodgers, buddy. Soon, we think.
Well, and if it's not... none of what Derek Harmon is going to do really matters because they will not win football.
Well, if Aaron
games,
Rodgers isn't there, you know. It's over!
I think this is the tough place, man. And this is why I will take, even if it's not a great class, the over of 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round of this thing. You don't have one, you ain't doing anything. And you might not hit. I don't know if Cam Ward's going to elevate the Titans, you know, to great heights the way Jaden Daniels did. But at least Daniels went to a situation... good coach, some pieces. Yeah. We didn't see that coming, but that was, you know, not the worst of situations to go to. I don't know if Cam Ward's going to make it a difference year one. I don't know if Jackson Dart's going to make a difference or what Shadur is going to be in the NFL. But if you don't have that position, and maybe it will be Rodgers, and this is all just a big slow play and he'll get there when he gets there, you could take Derek Harmon. I think Derek Harmon's going to be a great NFL player. You know, a quarterback like...
Yeah, they're just stuck in purgatory. They're stuck in NFL purgatory where they're good, but they're not good enough, and they're not bad enough to ever. Unless
you could be.
Win the lottery and find your guy in the third or fourth round, you take a flyer on a quarterback, and he turns out to be the stud that you're hoping for. I don't know if the answer for them is to take a guy in this year's quarterback class. Like, if you're a Steelers fan, would you want them to take a flyer on a guy with a 21st overall pick in the draft? If Jackson Dart is there. Is that the pick you want him to make?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I
Milroe,
would
you take a flyer on Milroe 21?
No, Milroe's tough
because then you get into the
project.
Shuck, the Will Howard. Then you're into that category of quarterback in this class.
So Milroe's interesting. What's your timeline? Am I under immense pressure right now this year? And if I don't do it, I'm fired? Because if you're not, and it doesn't seem that Tomlin is.
Doesn't seem like he is.
Then maybe Milroe is worth taking as a project that you think,
even if you get Rodgers too, it doesn't matter. Yeah, still take a quarterback.
They're in Pittsburgh. I've listened to Filippone talk about them.
Yeah.
Harmon is a great player. It's not to poo-poo these other positional players. It's just to simply ask, who's your quarterback? And if it ain't Rodgers... Like, I know Tomlin, I think he said it at the coach's retreat thing, I'll do Mason Rudolph. Great. I can't wait to do radio shows every Sunday where we talk about Pittsburgh maybe winning 12-9 or losing 9-18.
17-12.
Like, there's just nothing appealing about that. And Harmon will be great. And
it'll be great.
Hey, Derek Harmon had he had 1.5 sacks today, and he had 5 pressures and a tip pass and helped stuff that team to 80 yards total rushing. Yeah. And they lost.
How many playoff games have they won with T.J. Watt? Kind of highlights point.
And I love T.J. Watt.
He's an unbelievable player. One of the best edge rushers.
They continue to be, no matter how many different times we talk about it on this show, they are one of the higher-end, most fascinating teams to me in the entire league. They have not cared about the most important position in that sport.
Held on to Roethlisberger too long, and they have not had a contingency plan ever since then.
Haven't won a playoff game since 2016.
It's been a long time, buddy.
We're going almost a decade.
It's been a long time. You know who helps win playoff games? Good quarterback play. They usually have not had that.
Yeah.
At the end of the season.
They had that when they won their last one.
I got one other NFL note I want to get to, and it connects back locally, and it's just simply the question of, like, I've seen what you've done for others. Can you do this for me, please? We'll get to that next, and then Brandon Huffman at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Nico situation. Sounds like he's going to UCLA. Does Oregon legitimately have a chance to land the two top offensive tackles in this recruiting class? Seems like there's a little growing momentum.
What about that quarterback?
And Jared Curtis. I mean, they could have three of the top four or five players quarterbacks in the country committing the next
top ranked quarterback.
Yeah.
Seven of the top eight ranked ones from 2023 have transferred.
Did not turn out very well. And we're just all going on the illusion that Arch Manning will be elite, which he very well likely could be, but he's not played any football yet, so it's still a question mark. We'll talk to Brandon Huffman coming up at top of the hour. One more NFL note. That's next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll talk to Brandon Huffman for the Daily Ticker coming up here at the top of the hour. Some more thoughts on the Nico situation and lots of other stuff to get to in the final hour of the show, including why does the sport do this? Why? Why do they do it? Whenever I see a story along these lines, one, I get jealous, and two, I have a soft spot in my heart for it, and I'm wondering if you guys feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Now, I couldn't tell you every team that is an example of this across all of sports, but I do think there's a handful of them that stand out. The 49ers are a prime example of this. There is a little part of me as a sports fan that dies when I see a team move out of the city that they're playing in for more land and a better business deal to play outside of said city limits.
You don't like the 49ers playing 45 minutes
out of
San Francisco?
The 49ers playing 45 minutes south of San Francisco is just dumb. It is, you know, the home field advantage is not what it used to be. It's a corporate stadium. It's the Santa Clara. And then they come back on nationally televised games. Like, yeah, it's the Golden Gate Bridge. It's like, dude, you're an hour south. It's going to take an hour to get there. It's dumb. It's ridiculous. It's stupid.
Yes.
And I hate when owners take these greedy deals of what little city, you know, area, what little, you know, committee will give me the most public money to build my stadium, and that's going to determine the decision that I make. There is a league, or excuse me, a team that is going back kind of the other direction, and I think he's one of the best owners now in the NFL. At least it appears he's on the right track. Did you see what the Commanders announced yesterday?
I did see this. I would also ask, how do you feel about him as the Sixers owner right
well,
now?
Well, you know, look, Joel Embiid can't stay healthy, and it's not his fault Ben Simmons can't shoot, okay? Mm. Not his fault. He's trying out here. Mm. But they are moving. It sounds like the Commanders are moving back into Washington, D.C. at the old RFK Stadium site. Mm-hmm. And I believe the stadium's going to cost somewhere in the $3 billion range.
Oh, that'll be 3.5 by the end.
It will drastically go up.
That
and
Buffalo
he,
Stadium's gone up.
Yes. This is the way it usually works. I don't know if it's going to be dome. I don't know what the full plans for the stadium are. But I believe he is putting in $2.5 billion of his own money. And he's asking for, you know, $500 million or something along those lines.
You know, can I agree
this
with
you. This is cool. I just like the team. Like, that's a cool opposite trend of what we usually, the Bears are going through this, where
the
they're
Bears
looking
don't know
at
what they can
they
do.
Don't know where they're going to go. They might go way outside the city limits. And I just, there's a little part of me that the fandom, like, that sucks. If the Blazers decided to build a new arena in Salem.
I mean, this is no different than when the Diamond Project was toying with Hillsboro.
Yes, it's the same thing.
And we're like, oh, we're going to be the Portland baseball team who plays in Hillsboro.
Yes.
And nobody will know if you don't live here or visit here.
No, and we'll all still go to games. But
we
it's
would
just,
make fun of it.
It's just different. It's different to have it in the city limits and in the heart of the city.
The shots of downtown Portland and their bridge and Mount Hood, and it's like, we're 30 minutes the other way.
That's a bit of a drive on 26.
Look, it's tough. I think... I was kind of wondering this, not the same takeaway of like reversing these trends of what we see with these stadiums, but baseball is doing this a lot where they want to build, like destinations.
They want to have these big
housing,
pieces of property.
Markets, yeah. Businesses. They want to own it all because it's a way to make more money. It's what the Diamond Project wants to do. But what I was thinking yesterday in reading this is how many stadiums don't have retractable roofs in the NFL, and what's that number in the next 10 to 15 years? Because here's the thing about stadiums. Like, the SoFi Stadium can be open air, but it's got the retractable
it's
roof.
Covered.
Yeah. I think it is. I don't think it can. I think it's full-time open air. I don't think they can close the wall. I think it's, like, legitimately open.
Okay, I'll go look at that. You might be right. But
the roof is, it's a dome, yeah.
Because of why? because you want concerts. It's they're yeah. concert venues too.
You
want
to host other events. Yeah.
Yes.
You want to host a Super Bowl.
And you, Cleveland is
Final
doing
Four.
This.
Cleveland's yep. building a dome stadium.
Everybody's mad. Want to play snow football? Oh, don't take my snow football away. Why? I want to see the quarterback be elite. What are you talking about? But they're doing it because they want to also double dip the chip.
Yeah, they want to make more money.
And so, like, are they building retractable? I don't know if they've announced it, but at one point we're going to go, how many just open stadiums exist yeah. in football now? Versus getting built new stadiums and having retractable roofs.
The ones that I don't see changing, at least in the next 10 to 15 years. I'm going to throw a couple at you. Lambeau will never be a dome.
Nope.
Lambeau
will never get torn down.
It will be the Fenway of the NFL. They will never not play at Lambeau.
Which is basically what the Moda Center is becoming, by the way.
To a certain extent, yeah.
I don't think they need to tear it down.
No, I'm just saying you're just asking like how many, because I do think your overall point is correct. Buffalo's, I don't believe, is Buffalo's a dome?
I'll look it up.
Ooh, I don't remember it being a dome.
I don't think it will be.
Roof is fixed, not retractable.
Okay, so they're not going to be.
Unique design with open sides to allow for natural breezes.
And I think they're going to have ways. It's a newer stadium. You can keep people warmer. You got different heating situations. Like, there's ways that you can do that in Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know if the roof is open in LA. You might be right, but it basically makes it sound
it's
like
not the roof, but
is.
I thought the wall, I thought the stadium, the outside of the stadium's
not,
open.
It's not completely enclosed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the roof is fully enclosed.
That's what I was saying, the roof part. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So Buffalo won't, Lambeau won't, Cincinnati doesn't have money to build a new stadium. Hell, they're technically threatening to leave the city, so they're not building a new dome stadium. I don't see Pittsburgh ever going this route, although Heinz Field is now entering that, like, hey, you're kind of an old stadium. Do we need a new one territory?
Isn't that built in, like, it's the early 2000s?
It's, like, 25 years old. I know. Yeah. It's not even that old. So those ones I don't see being a dome. I don't see Kansas City going dome.
The Bills have they're designing a canopy roof that basically melts the snow.
There you go.
That's very interesting.
From the top of the stadium, or from, like, do they shoot laser beams to melt it before it falls on the field? I'm confused by
this.
They
shoot the sharks shooting snow.
They just got
to
melt it. A constant thing of flame around the top of the stadium that just melts all the snow off.
Opening is expected into the 2026 season. New stadiums will be built adjacent. Yeah.
It's right next door.
Yeah. The dome, no dome. There was initial consideration to building the new stadium in downtown Buffalo with a dome, a retractable roof. Both sides were set aside for extensive cost evaluations. Yada, 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 yada.
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, keep going.
I thought I remember it was going to be open air. I don't see Buffalo if they're not. I mean, that's obviously going to be a new stadium, so it'll be crossed off the list. The New York stadium won't get rebuilt for a dome, likely. But the overall point you're making, I do think you're going to, D.C. will probably have one because that would be a good destination for Final Fours. We know Cleveland's going to have one.
Yep.
You'll see more and more of these. Because, and look, I'm a fan of snow football. I'm a fan of outdoor cold weather football. I understand the overall point. It does lessen the offensive skill play a little bit. From a business standpoint, it makes no sense to not build a dome. Because you just you limit yourself in the amount of money that you can make in the offseason, whether it be a Super Bowl, a Final Four, concerts, like whatever the case may be, you're limiting the amount of money that you can make.
The NFL's a billion-dollar business. If the Hallmark Channel can have fake snow, why can't football games?
How cool would that be in a dome? Fake snow in a dome?
You just have some snow shooting out, but the temperature's
kind of coming down.
The 60s.
Yeah, I just need the white flakes on my
TV. You
just want
to see the TV.
Give me the nostalgia,
right?
Man, the nostalgia. So there, I'm jealous, man. Harris has done a really good job with the Commanders. Your point on the 76ers is valid. I'm sure Sixers fans don't feel the same way. But he's moving them back to D.C. He's investing. Hey, look at that. Good ownership, spending a lot of money trying to win in Washington. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. Lots to get to in the final hour. Let's start with our good buddy Brandon Huffman, national recruiting expert. What are his thoughts on the Nico situation? Oregon closing in on a couple of big fish potentially in the next few weeks. Lots to get to with Brandon Huffman. He kicks off the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.